Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
Let me tell you a story of a man who won over hate. It's a powerful story, and it's not for the faint of heart, but one that I think we need to hear, especially in this time and in this day. Hate levels are at an epidemic high, should I say a post-pandemic high. I don't need to recount to you the many, many stories of such, yet the story I have today to tell you shows that hate, no matter how diabolical, it can be defeated. It's a winnable war. In this week where we're emphasizing getting it all back, I say you need to get back your peace of mind, your joy, which is your strength. Of late, we are seeing a rise in that age-old hatred against Jews. Anti-Semitism again rears its ugly head. I don't believe it's any accident that the strongest supporters of Israel are found within the Christian ranks. Someone once said that this is the final front of the Second World War, a battle that still rages today. One would think, seeing the horrific price paid by the Jews in the Holocaust, that there should be a deep abiding sympathy there. A near unending well of compassion would be present for God's people. There are, after all, Holocaust museums all over the world. Even the death camps in Germany and Poland memorialize that horrible event. Yet there's still an abiding hatred toward Jews that's so profound, so lasting, it seems it won't go away. Indeed, that is the last front still being fought from the Second World War. In just the recent days, we've seen Orthodox Jews attacked, Jewish businesses attacked. Where does this come from? I know from God's word that all of us are born sinners, that the fall of Adam and Eve is just perpetuated in our DNA. It's locked into our egos, our inbred, imprinted, hardwired systems. I know that. That we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and in sin we were conceived. But I also know we were born with something else. Paul said in Titus 2, "For the remarkable, undeserved grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Superimposed upon our sin is God's ever-present grace. And as such, yes, we were born sinners, but God's grace has been revealed to every one of us. That there's a tug of war going on constantly within mankind. And that tug of war keeps people in check when we mistreat someone, our consciences smite us. Why? It's that remarkable, undeserved grace of God. When we talk about someone, trash their name, speak slander, defame them, a thought comes, a still small voice, a divine whisper that says, "I shouldn't have done that." That's not Jiminy Cricket. That's the God who tries the reins of the heart. Yet that voice can be muzzled and silenced. A person can sear their conscience, harden their hearts. Called by various things, sociopaths, psychopaths, narcissists, call them whatever you like, but by and large, most people feel bad when they do bad things. And that's the point, isn't it? Most Americans don't single out a race, an ethnicity, a religion for hatred. Regardless of how the media leads day after day, night after night with such stories, the overwhelming majority of Americans don't walk around hating and scheming. Granted, there are unrecognized biases in us all. Time and events reveal those. But I don't believe we can excuse them. No, we have to face up to our own hatreds, prejudices, biases, admit them, confess them, forsake them, seek the help of a loving God for all of this. Yet the hate that we sometimes struggle with is more of a common variety. It's not a broad brush that singles out a certain race or religion. It's the struggle we have with individuals. Maybe someone has hurt us. Maybe someone who has hurt those that we love. Maybe there are people who have said negative things about us. People we were once close to and we once trusted. wants love, but that love, that passion, that feeling is turned from wine to vinegar, sweet to sour. And the same degree of emotional intensity with which we once loved, we now hate. It can start very young, that we grow angry, vengeful. We say things like, they hurt me, I will hurt them. And we go through life with an eye for an eye mentality, hurting those who hurt us. This was the revolutionary teaching of Jesus Christ. He taught people to pray for their enemies. Yes, pray for them. And those prayers are not just bless my friends and blast my enemies kind of prayers. It's not to pray down curses. So when we pray, we should not simply be attacking the force of darkness. We should be worshiping the God of light. We curse the darkness way too much and nothing changes. We need to welcome the light that vanquishes the darkness. Pray for your enemies. That's a major strategy to win a war on hate. You can try other things, but they usually fail. I'm intrigued by people who are part of hate groups and try to exit and the remedies they look to, because I think this is an exaggerated form of what we all struggle with. How do we win the war on hate? I read recently of a tattoo parlor in Kentucky that offers to remove or cover up hateful symbols and gang tattoos. That is, someone realizes, I've made a mistake. I should have never had this engraved in my skin. And they can get it removed and taken away. The first client in that Kentucky tattoo parlor was a 36-year-old mother of two who wanted to cover up a small Confederate flag she had gotten tattooed on her ankle when she was 18 years old. The woman said, I went to a school where there wasn't a single black person. And everyone in my school flew rebel flags and had rebel flag tattoos. And I bandwagoned with them and got the tattoo. And it was a horrible thing to do. And for nearly 20 years, she would look down at that tattoo and regret it. And finally, she saw the ad. She came in and had it removed. We applaud that. But really, that's only a superficial cure. Hate cannot be healed just by modifying one's speech or removing tattoos. It's got to go deeper than that. Peter Simi is a sociologist who studies hate groups. He not only studies them, he actually invites himself to their meetings to observe them. Simi talks about how difficult it is to leave such a group, to leave hate behind. He documented a couple who had been fully indoctrinated in their white supremacist philosophy. But in a domestic dispute, a relative of theirs had shot this couple's daughter. At the hospital, it was two African-American doctors who saved that girl's life. This couple was so humbled by it. They were so ashamed by their behavior. Their cure was to retrain their minds, to try to free themselves of their racist views. Even went so far as to move into an area of town that was dominated by people of color. Yet Simi describes how this couple couldn't unlearn those years of hate. How there are no counselors who can help them. They are not trained to remove such hate. A superficial healing will not do. Retraining your mind will not do. Virtue signaling, like marching in protest, that will not do. Or moving into communities of color won't solve the problem. Because the problem goes deep. Hate is in the heart of man. And the heart of man is a dense forest. The Bible says, who can know it? Only one, and we are his children, the children of God, the God who is called love, holy. And we are to love and we are to be holy because we are to be like him. While we are commanded to hate evil, we are never commanded to hate people. There's no basis for it. Yes, people hurt us. People can do vile and terrible things against us. But hating that person is a form of taking judgment into our own hands. God is the judge. Let him judge. Release it into his own hands. You don't have to hang out with those people who hurt you. You don't have to be close friends with them. But there are times, and we all know this, that we will still have to be around people who hurt us, slandered us, defamed us, knifed us in the back. What is our role? We pray for them. We love them with the love of God to the extent we can without becoming their personal doormat. we live at peace with them. And that's waging a winnable war against hatred, and that's getting your peace of mind back. But that's only possible with God. Anything else is superficial, momentary. And now for the story that I promised you a few moments ago. It was a number of years ago, Ken Parker was a grand dragon in a chapter of the Ku Klux Klan, the white supremacist group that reigned supreme in the Reconstruction era, the early civil rights era. He was with hundreds of other white nationalists at a rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. You may remember the upheaval, the hatred on display, the death of Heather Heyer. Heather worked as a paralegal with a lot of women of color, and she was out marching on their behalf when she was struck and killed by a white supremacist driving a car through the march. Ken Parker saw it happen. He was so moved by it. There he also met a filmmaker, Dia Khan, who was filming the event for a documentary on hate groups. Her kindness to him moved him. He didn't know what to do with the hate in his heart. But in his apartment complex, there were some African-American people having a cookout. Parker observed them from a distance. He saw happiness. He saw contentment. He saw something different, something he couldn't explain. And as the crowd thinned, he approached the man who seemed to lead the group, and he spoke with him. He asked about the joy that he sensed. He found out that man was a pastor, and eventually change began to come. Yes, Parker would get the hate messages tattooed on his skin removed, but he would do something else, something more lasting. He repented. He took off that dreaded white hood and garment and joined the All Saints Holiness Church. He is one of the few white people in the group. He put on a baptismal robe and was baptized in the ocean. When he was recently interviewed, he said, "I was into it so much. It was my life for 6 years. I never thought I would or could get out." Then he said to those still wrapped up in hate, "Get out. You're throwing your life away." Leaving a life of hate is hard. Repentance is hard. It may be the most difficult thing you've ever done, but you don't have to do it alone. Why? Because Calvary itself is a monument to victory over hate. What the enemy meant to destroy has become a beacon of hope to those who struggle to forgive. That the only way to forgive is first to be forgiven. And it's from a forgiven heart that forgiveness flows freely. Can I give you a verse of scripture in Romans 5? Paul is speaking of Calvary, the death of Christ that brings healing and reconciliation between the sworn enemies of God and God himself. And then Paul said in verse 20, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Or as the Amplified says, "Where sin abounded, God's grace superabounded. For increasing hate, we have increasing grace." The answer is not to remove the hate, but to overwhelm the hate with love. And maybe that's the answer for us all. We need grace. We need more grace. We need abundant grace and forgiveness. The article I read about Ken Parker confessing his sins and repenting and being baptized was entitled, "Love Covers All." That's what we need. The love of God to cover the hate of man. And such love will drown hate. Why don't you purpose? I'm going to get that love back.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.